Hi, thanks to Jim for persuading me to speak today. But I'm going to start with a mini rant. The thing that I feel maybe is sadness combined with anger. Whatever happens with COP, we can see that humanity has messed up big time. 30 years ago, we knew about this and have done very little. The climate scientists were unjustifiably challenged by various think tanks sponsored by fossil fuel companies. And the companies knew the truth of the problem all along, which they deliberately suppressed by spreading disinformation. And then as long ago as 15 years ago, climate change was mainstream news. You may remember the Stern report, which was a government report which showed that action in climate was urgently necessary then. Yet since then, the world carbon emissions have continued to rise, seemingly unstoppably. Do we think it's too late to deal with this? Well, I think someone else in the service is mentioning hope. Graham last week gave us a great sweeping overview of biblical thinking on climate change. The following is my own limited piece on how faith interacts with this subject and why I think we should care. There's a lot in the Bible about social justice. We in the West have caused the climate change problem. In other countries who haven't caused the problem who are suffering the most, including for some, the danger of destruction of the whole of their island nations. So there's nothing very complicated in seeing that. The book of Proverbs says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. There's a grand theme of loving your neighbour, which applies here, for the poorer people of the world and for future generations. Some Christians are in the forefront of the fight against climate change, and including organisations such as Christian Aid and Peer Fund, both of which are represented in this church. But there are a couple of what I would say are wrong approaches from some Christians, both of which can affect us all in subconscious ways. The first goes something like this. We are not actually doing anything wrong. God has given us this world to do with as we will, everything to enjoy. We as Christians know that everything is going to be okay in the end. There will be a new heaven and a new earth if and when this earth is finished. It's a kind of I'm all right, Jack attitude. If that's you or me, then I think those are the very attitudes that are condemned by the prophets and indeed Jesus in his way, the way he talks to the religious people of his day. What's the answer to this? Maybe we can trust God to bring about a new heaven and a new earth. But if that's the case, people are the agents to bring it about. It's not like we sit about to let it happen while we fly off on another mini break. We do stuff to help bring about the Jesus salvation of the earth and his people. That includes doing our own bit in the way we live our lives or in influencing the governments to do the right things. The second Christian negative response could be that we despair with guilt. We see that we are part of the problem with our consumerist lifestyles, but we can't see how we as individuals can do anything about it. So we just bury our head in the sand and pretty much carry on as we are. We are also conscious of our own hypocrisies, and that can end up being something which causes us to despair even more. That's probably what I'm like. So what do we do about that one? The message of Jesus is to free us from our sins. Environmental sins are something sometimes difficult to recognise as sins and sometimes are hard to stop doing because of their systemic nature. We can be liberated from some of them. Maybe we could see things like addiction to cars, multiple foreign holidays, or always consuming more stuff as things which we can be set free from without seeing that as a huge sacrifice. Even that is not simple though, because there are things about our lifestyles which we can't really view as sins at all, but which we still have to move away from. Gas boilers, eating meat, things which we maybe don't view as bad in themselves at all. So it's sometimes quite a complicated picture. I think it's true though that we are called to live simpler lives, enough for dignified sufficiency of living, to quote one of our local prophets of our day, Alistair McIntosh. All this is as important as other aspects of moral living in the 21st century. And it's not all on us as individuals. Some of these things will change and can only change with government action, and maybe as a result of some agreements that are being hammered out at COP. It would be really good to consider what Jesus would do and say today. Or maybe we can see him already doing it in the words and actions of the young prophets of our times. Keep that carbon in the ground.
Thanks, Martin, if you're listening on Zoom. Good hearing from you. We could just about end now, I think. Martin's, you know, packed so much into, believe it or not, that was just 5 minutes. We could go and have our coffee now, but no, we've got more stuff to do. And after listening to Martin a bit, I was thinking that it reminded me a bit of the motto of street pastors, which is just simply listen, care, help. So if you're walking down the street and you meet somebody, listen to their story, you properly listen to their story, and then you make a conscious decision to care and to help if you can. And I thought it's a really good motto to apply to climate change. We've all listened, probably we're really quite sick of it actually, to all the information that's been coming across during this last week and will come across again next week. And you know, how many of us have actually, if you move to the next slide, how many of us have actually listened and really made a deliberate effort to understand what's happening? You know, there'll be a proportion who are green and a proportion who are red. And then off that group who've listened properly, who actually is going to care? Well, there'll be less people again. And then it'll, off the people who care, how many of them are actually going to help and think of ways of helping? And last week, we had some examples. Graham at the back there was advising us to use bamboo toilet paper. So there are things you should, that's a good example of something that you should think about. It might be cheaper, it might be might sound more environmentally friendly, but obviously the bamboo is not grown here in Europe. It has to come all the way from the Far East, probably. So there are things you have to consider, all these decisions, electric cars and so on, they're all different things that have to be considered. And we've all got to make our own decisions. Shirley last week, I don't know if Shirley's here, but Shirley was recommending that we live in a fridge. At, you know, 12 degrees, which is 10 degrees less than the temperature in our house. So I actually found a photograph taken last year of Shirley standing in a room, a chamber in a Neolithic ruin up in the north of Scotland, and it had no windows. And I thought, maybe that's where you should move to next, Shirley. So, but this meeting this morning is not really about things you can do or the giving you more information about climate change. I think the main theme, if there is a theme this morning, and certainly coming through in Martin's talk, is why care? Why should we care? We tend to think as Christians about into eternity. We think beyond this life, but we still have to consider this life and what's happening. I mean, I think a very helpful thing, and Martin actually mentioned this, was what would Jesus do? And I find that quite a helpful question to ask myself. What would Jesus do? I think Jesus would listen. I think he would listen and make an effort to understand. I think he would care. He certainly would care. And he certainly has shown that he would help. I mean, he's given himself for us. Given off himself for us, he has given himself for us. God has given his own son for us. And what better basis for us to go forward? So what would Jesus do? And just going back to the passage that Francis read, we're asked this question, who is my neighbor? Or sorry, Jesus was asked the question, who is my neighbor? So he's given us guidance on who should be in our neighborhood, as it were. The next slide, or slide or two, John, there. Maybe we could just run through those fairly quickly. You can see the people that are appearing as our neighbours. And because it's climate change we're thinking about, really, our neighbours are not just ourselves who are living at the moment, but also future generations. You hear lots of people talking about the grandchildren. I'm just doing this for my grandchildren, but really it goes way beyond that, way beyond just the people who are grandchildren at the moment. And we, in fact, my generation, for example, we are the grandchildren of people who should have done something about this back when they were looking at us as grandchildren, because this problem has been known about for so long. So that, to me, is the parable of the Good Samaritan tells us that really our neighbours are all over the world. And got a slide which you maybe can't see the shades of pink there. It's not just the British Empire, I think, as Martin thought at first. This is shades of pinkness. They are the temperatures around the world. When you compare last year with 30 years starting from the average of 30 years starting from 1981. And you can see that some parts of the world are much more pink than others. Our part of the world, if we home in, the next slide, home in on our part of the world, we are a bit pink, and we don't have too much effect as yet of climate change. We do have floods in different areas, but I mean, the weather we had yesterday is quite normal for November. We couldn't really put that down to climate change. And we've got that bit of blue in the Atlantic there that probably helps us to keep a bit cooler. But around the world, the average might be, say, 1%, but around the world, some parts are much greater than that. The Greenland ice shelf is about 7 or 8% higher. So this is me just coming on to the next part of service. One of our neighbours, speaking from Kenya, we've got to regard people in faraway places as neighbours. This lady who is going to be speaking now lives in Kenya, works for Tear Fund in Kenya. Kenya actually, well, it says 8 hours there. You can get to Kenya in 8 hours. It's not that far away. Just a little bit more than it took us to get from meeting up in the Botanic Gardens yesterday to getting to Glasgow Green. So it's not far at all. So we're going to hear from Carol in Kenya.
Hi, everybody. My name is Carol Nanga from Nairobi, Kenya, founder of Msingi Trust, an organization I started in 2017 to make the connections between faith, social justice, activism, and advocacy. We'll be reading from Matthew 19:16-22 on the parable of the rich young ruler. Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother also. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all this. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. So you might be asking yourself, what does the rich young ruler and climate change have in common? And I have been mulling over this verse for the past 2 weeks, and I feel that God was placing it in my heart that many of us are like the rich young ruler, wanting to do good, wanting to make change, but the cost is too high. I find that the saving grace in this story is that we do not know whether the young ruler came back to Jesus or not. This is good because it gives us options. Do we do what we need to do, or do we keep our wealth? We know that by the end of this decade, 132 million people will be pushed into extreme poverty by the climate emergency. 132 million people sounds like just a number, but as we know, these numbers have names. These are our friends, these are our siblings, these are our sisters. And so what will you do for our siblings? These are people that live in the swollen Lake Baringo in Kenya or those communities in Mau Forest in Kenya. They will suffer from logging. They will suffer from increased water levels in the lakes. They have already been displaced. This climate change conversation has actual implications to real life people, to communities that have lived in these ecosystems for so long. And so what do we do? What questions do we need to be asking ourselves? What theologies do we need to start writing or creating? What actions as the church do we need to do? If you look at many traditional stories of origin, nature is involved and it is core to the origin and the well-being and the birth of the community. Most of our cultures in the world have a connection to the garden and therefore a responsibility to tend, nurture, and protect the garden, because the garden was home. The garden was their belonging. It was where they came from. Colonization, Christianity, and modernization happened, and many communities were distanced from their stories of origin. The Genesis story of creation happens in a garden where there is lushness, identity formation, and communion with God, and belonging happens in a garden. Sin and disobedience happens, and there is the process of being cut off from the garden. Our continued disconnection to the garden story, to its importance and its connectivity to our communal identity, is core to climate change. The stories we have of sacred trees, rivers, and mountains also give us a mandate to care for them. Many of the harmful behaviors that cause climate change have come about because we have deviated from the stories of who we are. When we listen to the rich young ruler asking, "What do I need to do?" he is asking, "What is my story?" And so when God directs, when Jesus directs him back to selling of everything, to take care of the most vulnerable, that is hard. It is a difficult ask, but it is a reminder of who we are. And so we need to question ourselves, our inner beings, and ask ourselves, what if we did not need all these things that we think we need? How would we save the environment? I also want to have the conversation on, for us to think about our gardens, our return to the garden, our return to the Genesis story, our return to home, our return to lushness, to green, our return to who we are as caretakers, as custodians of this nature that God gave us. And so as the rich young ruler went back into his house and maybe had a lot of questions to ask and to respond and actions to do, we need to ask ourselves, what does it take for us to be saved, to gain eternal life? It means going back home. It means going back to our safety spaces and asking, do I really need all of this?
Again, quite a lot to think about there. So our time is almost up, and I want to thank everyone who's taken part in different ways. The band over here, thanks very much for the music, and the sound team, and also Martin sitting there, who's probably had the hardest job of all, actually, this morning, and to others who've taken part. So we're going to finish with a prayer which Tear Fund have sent us. And there's a lot in this prayer. And again, we're going to send it out to the whole church, and we'll also send Martin's talk as well. So, and when Peter finishes with the words "Amen," that's the end of the meeting, and then we can go and have our coffee. Sorry, we don't have time for the final hymn.
Who made all things, we acknowledge as your handiwork, we stand alongside all which you have created.
Trees, rivers, mountains and valleys, soaring birds, and scuttling creatures, all are held within your care.
May we grow in our love and appreciation for your creation, and may our awe and wonder draw us closer to you, the God of all things.
Your kingdom come.
The earth is the Lord's and everything in it.
For you so loved the world, the cosmos, the entirety of creation, of which we humans are just one part.
May we learn again how to care for this planet.
As we pause and consider the climate emergency, we remember that we're praying to the Lord of all the earth.
Give us today our daily bread.
Lord, grant us the wisdom to care for your earth.
Sharing your provision and goodness with all our neighbours.
Founded on the covenant of your love.
Lord God, you made the world and declared it was very good.
As temperatures rise, storms rage, forests burn, and islands sink, it is the people who have done the least to cause the climate crisis who are suffering the most.
We stand together in sorrow.
We ask for forgiveness, for you are the God of all, who restores all relationships when we repent.
Forgive us for decades of inaction and for not living in accordance with your will.
As we forgive those who sin against us.
I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be for all people, for kings and all those in authority.
World leaders gathered at COP26 carry a huge burden of responsibility over this world that you love so much.
We hold them in our prayers. May they have humble and wise hearts.
We pray for anointed diplomacy, boldness and conviction to show your love to those who have least.
We pray for unity among the nations and for compelling voices and leaders to rise up so that miraculous action will begin.
But deliver us from evil.
May we remember that we are a global community. Our actions and choices affect one another.
Help us resist the temptation to make choices for our convenience and to consider how those choices affect our neighbors across the world.
Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth.
Help us respond with the radical love of Jesus.
A love that disrupts the status quo and sacrifices itself to bring restoration.
This is our responsibility.
This is our worship.
Lord, renew us in a steadfast spirit and cleanse our hearts.
Renew our minds and transform our lives.
Renew our world.
Car c'est à toi qu'appartiennent le règne, la puissance et la gloire.
Now and forever. Amen.
Pain we bear.
should never be discouraged. It's to the Lord in